This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 16th, 2024. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 347. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest, I award a virtual Nanamobar to a difference maker, and on the big deal feature, a bombshell report from the National Security and Intelligence Committee of Parliamentarians, also known as NSICOP, that says federal lawmakers are colluding with foreign states, including China. My guest is Sam Cooper, investigative reporter from the Bureau.News and author of Willful Blindness. Cooper says there is nothing shocking about the report, but Canadians deserve answers. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. I'm pleased to welcome investigative reporter Sam Cooper of the Bureau.News to the podcast, the Substack that covers anti-corruption, counter-disinformation, whistleblowers, and sunlight. Sam Cooper is also the author of the bestseller called Willful Blindness, How a Network of Narcos, Tycoons, and CCP Agents Infiltrated the West. It's from Optimum Publishing International. Sam Cooper formerly reported for the Vancouver Province newspaper and Global News. His reporting for Global helped pave the way for the Hogue Commission, public inquiry into foreign interference. Sam joins me from Ottawa. The latest development, the June 3rd special report from the National Security and Intelligence Committee of Parliamentarians, also known as NSICOP. The heavily censored report did not mention names or numbers, but it said there are lawmakers who are, quote, semi-witting or witting participants, end quote, that are colluding with foreign states. They swore an oath to Canada, but they are serving foreign governments. One of those MPs that Sam and I have been keeping an eye on for several years is Parm Baines, the Trudeau Liberal who upset Conservative Kenny Chu in the Steveston-Richmond East riding in 2021. A year after that election, I reported on a video that I found on WeChat, which shows identifiable figures from the United Front groups in Vancouver meeting in a parking lot with Baines during the final weekend of the campaign.
I know there's some controversial issues that have been brought up that are discriminatory, right? I don't agree with those. So my job is going to be to make sure you have strong representative and strong voice.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
So that's my commitment for sure for you.
Is there any shock value to the NSICOP report? For people like you and me who've been following this for years, this validates what we already knew. But for the rest of the public and the rest of the media that hasn't been following, this seems to have shocked them.
Yeah, definitely. And thanks to your reporting, it's not the only time I've been able to refer to your excellent reporting, which includes sometimes you videotaping these United Front actors at meetings. But to your question, NSICOP was tasked to look into, you know, specifically the allegations that I reported on first for Global News. And it confirmed everything that, you know, we reported, although there was huge pushback, as you know, from Justin Trudeau's office. What you just read there about, you know, certain people in both houses colluding with foreign states in reciprocal relationships, this lines up with what we reported at Global. Certain candidates alleged by sources I relied on within Canadian intelligence to be witting participants in, you know, China, supporting their activities. So what I think that speaks to in the line you just read from NSICOP, just at face value, we can say if you're wittingly accepting support from China, whether it's media support, whether it's clandestine fund transfers, whether it's volunteers mobilized by consulate officials or Chinese intelligence officials in Vancouver, Toronto, or Montreal, and you know about it, you have taken an advantage over your opponent, whether, you know, whatever party they're in. So yeah, I would think that, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I work, as you do, with lawyers a lot. I get a lot of threat letters from lawyers. I would say that this activity matches colluding. What I'm interested in, what would surprise me more is, you know, I do have some indications of well-known politicians, I would say engaged in activities pretty much openly that would seem very suspicious and would seem to, you know, jump to the benefit of China. I'm not so clear on India. So that's what I want to know more about. But, you know, without rambling too much in this first answer, for people like you and me, I don't think there's much shock value in what NSI COP confirmed. They did go further than Justice Hogan, saying that some Canadian parliamentarians wittingly or through willful blindness, which I liked that they used that word for my book title, knowingly accepted, you know, transfers concealed or layered to disguise, you know, their origin. Now, you know, I follow money laundering a lot. I've reported on it a lot. Those words match with money laundering activities from foreign states to the benefit of Canadian politicians. So I found that to be one of the most explosive lines for sure. But I think the value here is reporters like you and I that have been there from the start looking into these networks. You and I both know in Vancouver and Toronto, we know by name and face, I believe the very key actors in these networks. They're called proxies, they're called community leaders. But I think you know that, you know, my sources indicate they would be Chinese intelligence assets that are very often involved in underworld activities of extremely dangerous nature. So I think, you know, Canadians are rightly shocked. Ottawa reporters that didn't really know what this was all about, many of them doubters. Now they're learning, you know, okay, 33,000 pages of evidence says this is true. But I still think it's up to people like you and I to that know how we've already connected the dots very well. We know these networks, and I really admire your reporting that sometimes, you know, there's going to be a meeting. You're there with your camera catching the evidence in person. Maybe the RCMP is not even there.
Perm Beans, the Liberal MP in Stephenson Richmond East, has avoided my questions for a number of years. His staff said that meeting in the parking lot at Gary Point Park in the 2021 election was to meet with a walking club. They really downplayed it, especially the identifiable figures that were there. One of them is named Wang Danqi, who is someone who is quoted in Chinese state media whenever the Chinese state media is looking for a Canadian perspective. Wang Danqi has attended various high-level Communist Party meetings and national celebrations in Beijing. He is one of the top figures on the West Coast when it comes to the United Front. Parm Beans, now he did tell a reporter in haste after a committee meeting in Parliament Hill last year.
Do you believe you won because of foreign influence?
Nope, not at all.
Fair and square.
Parm Beans did respond to you, told you a little bit more, at least in the email statement.
He did his job. I would say it's his job as an elected official to respond to reporters regarding photo evidence, regarding videotaped statements. And, you know, I know not everyone read your reporting or my reporting. So in a nutshell, look, I connected, with high confidence, the NSI COP allegation that in paragraph 56, that a textbook case example of foreign interference saw a foreign state supporting a witting politician. That's a serious allegation. Again, many people in Ottawa lit their hair on fire. Who is this? And, you know, I think I confirmed to my to a high standard that this allegation refers to what Justice Hogue's redacted report talks about, a September 12th briefing to Justin Trudeau's senior aides about a very concerning case. It's all redacted, of course, the briefing notes, but I pieced together through the hearing and documents. It was about the targeting of Kenny Chu and Aaron O'Toole through Chinese disinformation. Everyone knows the story. WeChat was used. Toronto media very prominently started this disinformation, which migrated into Vancouver. And interestingly, they didn't, you know, follow the reporting that I reported on, that this, you know, strange pop-up called Rise Media interviews Parm Beans on September 10th and asks him, you know, are you going to support this bill put forward by Kenny Chu? Some people see it as a human rights sort of breach, which matches very interestingly with stories popped up days before in Toronto. So to fill in our listeners, work both of you and I confirmed, Parm Beans said no. Essentially, that's a discriminatory policy. He gets an ad on the cover of Rise Media that day, a glowing endorsement article for him and Justin Trudeau, And as you were the one to first expose, very importantly, let's ask ourselves, does this fit with a textbook case of foreign interference? Days after, Parm Bains is put on record by what I'm calling a very clearly and evidently, provably, a media platform with ties to United Front activity. Parm Bains gives them the answer they want, I'm going to suggest. And days later, a related voter group connect to that platform, as you confirmed, shows up with them on the trail. And I just want to paint the picture for our listeners. This guy you're talking about, this United Front cadre, is provably, again, document prove. He's his meetings prove. He's a senior cadre on the West Coast in China's United Front Work Department, on record funding the People's Liberation Army with donations. He's there. You can see him front and center supporting Parm Bains with a shirt that links directly to this media platform. So I'm going to say that fits a textbook example. And I've rambled on too much, but what I want to add here is my reporting indicates, again, Justin Trudeau's party was warned about this case days before the election in a strangely almost apologetic CSIS brief, according to the notes. It's like, please don't leak this information. I'm using a little editorial flair to explain the exact content of the document. It's extremely classified. We know it's going to be difficult for you to do with this information again, but here it is. It's up to your judgment, and they do nothing. So, I know that Parm Bains didn't respond to some of your rigorous and chasing questions of him. But yes, he did answer and said, there's absolutely no influence in my campaign. I was giving my personal opinion to Rise Media, and there's nothing wrong about that. So fairness to him, I provided his answer and then laid out the documentary case and asked readers to read it, understand it, and come to their opinion as Canadian citizens and voters.
Yeah, my guest on this edition of the Breaker.News is Sam Cooper from the Bureau.News. We're talking about the aftermath of the National Security and Intelligence Committee of Parliamentarians' special report on foreign interference. And one story that I wrote this week in the Breaker.News was about Patrick Brown, the mayor of Brampton, Ontario, who was in the Conservative leadership race in 2022 until he was disqualified for spending irregularity in July 2022. But before that happened, he came to Vancouver at least twice and met with identifiable people from groups that are pro-CCP in Vancouver, including one at a clubhouse on Dunbar, which was referred to as the Chinese-Canadian Voting Alliance. And there he met with people who were leaders of these groups that are connected to the consulate through the Overseas Chinese Affairs Office. Now, this report was, as you said, a review of 33,000 pages of intelligence. It said the slow response to foreign interference has compromised public trust in government and compromised the integrity of elections. What else did this report say? What else popped out at you?
That line about Canadian parliamentarians knowingly colluding with foreign states and wittingly or through willful blindness accepting funds or benefits from foreign states. That, as we've said, it's not a shocker to you and I, but it's mind-blowing, I would think, that from Canadians' government saying nothing about foreign interference until in Ottawa, I really started to report on this, to now admitting we have a government body saying that's happening. And essentially, the other part of the report says these appear to be illegal acts, but they will not be prosecuted in Canada because the government hasn't dealt with this longstanding issue to get into the weeds here, which I hate, this so-called intelligence to evidence conundrum. I mean, it blows my mind. For years, people in Ottawa have been talking about the inability of Canadian police to prosecute serious foreign interference activity that CSIS knows about. And that NSI cop report says you haven't done anything, so we're in a bind here. If you believe us, these bipartisan, you know, credible parliamentarians, we have people working for foreign states. We can't tell you their names, and the RCMP will not prosecute that. That, I do believe, is something that has shocked Canadians that follow politics closely. And, you know, I do try to avoid getting into the weeds, but it's just very reminiscent to me of how, you know, Bob, you know the story of how these BC massive money laundering investigations fall apart, and we can't convict the most serious organized crime, transnational in Canada. I'm saying with 100% confidence, the transnational organized crime money laundering is directly connected and facilitating the election interference. These issues are connected. It's not just that we have, you know, the NSI cop report says point blank, Justin Trudeau didn't act when we told him to act in 2019. His inaction could harm Canada for years to come. That's a headline to me. But, you know, I'm afraid it goes deeper than just Canada's, you know, strange inability to get its legal system together on these cases. I think that there's concerns of corruption and willful blindness, perhaps even among people with the power in our justice system. And that, you know, could that include solicitor generals? Could that include judges? Could that include premiers that should be listening to CSIS and they aren't? Those are the questions in my mind, and I think they're fair ones.
Yeah, and a report like this, which doesn't name, blame, or shame, there's no accountability, will lead to further erosion of public trust in government, in elections, in Canadian institutions, which then feeds into the CCP's objectives, which are to undermine democracies, undermine its adversaries. So every MP right now, with some notable exceptions, very few notable exceptions, has a cloud over their head. And this also comes 14 years after Richard Fadden, who was the director of CSIS, the Canadian Security Intelligence Service. He originally raised the flag about foreign interference, but several MPs turned around and accused him of racism. Here we are 14 years later. Can Canada be saved?
Yeah, I'm going to answer that. But before something slips out of my mind, I just want to fire one back at you at what you said, Bob. Like, you've covered politics a lot longer than me. Not a lot longer. I'm just going to say longer and with great, great detail, especially British Columbia. Because people ask me this on podcasts, like, is it fair to say that, to your point about this increasing the lack of confidence in our current federal government, you followed across Canada for a long time. Do you think it's fair to say that there's never, you know, at least in our lifetimes, been this level of distrust and this danger that Canadians don't trust their federal government anymore?
It is at a high, and you wonder if this is as high as it'll go or if it's only going to get worse. People do talk about the division, but I think there's a distrust. I think people right, left, and center, mostly in the middle, who don't identify as right or left, are the ones that are now losing trust. And this is going to translate into probably fewer people at the polls in certain elections, but it can also translate into more people coming out to the next federal election, which is forecast to be a change election. So maybe it does look like it's too far gone, it's beyond repair, but maybe the system will repair itself when the public gets together and says, enough is enough, we've got to save our country. Previous generations of Canadians in World War I and World War II went to battle, picked up arms to save the country, to save all of its values. Well, maybe that's the last chance for Canada, is when people pick up the pencil and paper in the next election.
Yeah, you know, Bob, I agree with you, and I'm glad to hear from you that, you know, what I've observed and what I answer to people is exactly that. We've never seen lower confidence. It's not just partisan in nature. So I do think that as reporters, why do we do this? Sometimes it feels like just like getting slings and arrows and uphill work. But if it did increase the people going to the polls, and across the board, Bob, I'll tell you, I have people at, you know, a senior level in the Liberal Party that within that party, there's enough talk about people wanting to get rid of the Prime Minister for what looks like is dereliction on this point, but there are other issues. And so, yeah, I agree with your answer totally. You know, it could be a very patriotic next election. And I've reached the point where I've, you know, I believe the evidence is just what NSICOP said. Justin Trudeau, tone at the top, decisions at the top, him and his office are responsible for not responding to foreign interference. I do think that the voters need to hold them to account, because the RCMP certainly doesn't seem to be able to act on some of these problem MPs or senators. And that goes right back to your question about Richard Fadden. Look, I'll tell you, I got into this file because I saw the response to Mr. Fadden back in 2010. I remember, I think Peter Mansbridge sort of broke the story at, I think it was one of these defense conferences. And it was sort of like, wow, Richard Fadden said this thing. Here's this, I don't know if they put it this way, this spook saying, this shocking stuff. We believe, you know, some politicians in BC and Ontario are getting way too close to foreign governments. They didn't name names, but you'll remember very well a Vision Vancouver councillor who is now a David Eby minister, I believe, came out and slapped Dick Fadden, basically saying, you know, you can't say that. It leads to anti-Asian racism. We had all kinds of people in Ottawa, MP Mark Holland, notably, the same message. Richard Fadden, you're being racist. How can you say that? And so I think this was a case where Richard Fadden was saying exactly what NSICOP 2024 says. Houston, we've got a big problem. There's people working for foreign powers. As CSIS, we really can't do anything about it except give them these, you know, defense briefs that are very general and say, hey, be careful, you know, those people that you're meeting on Dunbar, you know, a pizza shop or, you know, those people that are, let's just call it like straw kind of nominees, sending a bunch of people to give you $300 a pop. They're working for a foreign state, watch out. And Dick Fadden said his message basically the only way he could. I believe it was strategic. I'm aware of the people that put the reporting up to him. I'm aware of how it focused on a politically connected Canadian in the Ontario Ledge, who we won't name for legal reasons. Lawfare, that's another discussion. but yeah, that's my answer. Dick Fadden was called a racist. Ottawa's establishment brought him to heel. And I think I want to go back and look at the people that brought him to heel and dig into why. And I think they need to be held accountable. Let's start with Mr. Holland.
And this report, you know, in June comes after the Hogue Commission's first report in May. The Hogue Commission continues, at least to the end of the year. It looks like there is a move to get the NSICOP information in front of Judge Marie-José Hogue. Now, there have been questions over the years about some of the senators, for instance, Yun Pa Wu, the senator from BC appointed by Justin Trudeau. There's also Victor Oh, the conservative senator who has reached retirement age. Both of those senators, through their words, their actions, their trips to China, their attendance at events involving United Front figures, especially here in BC, have raised a lot of questions. Maybe they're some of the people that are being talked about in this NSICOP report. Of course, Yun Pa Wu was an intervener in the Hogue Commission. The Hogue Commission's first report in May called the foreign interference a stain. That was the word that Hogue used. It was a stain on Canadian democracy, but she denied it affected the outcome of the elections in 2019 and 2021. There's questions to be asked about that conclusion, whether she had enough time to really come to that conclusion. The Liberal minority government, in the wake of the Hogue Commission, tabled the bill for the Foreign Agents Lobbying Registry. This was the bill that was proposed in 2021 by Kenny Chu, the Conservative MP at the time for Steveston Richmond East. This is the bill that that led to the Chinese disinformation, which led to his defeat. Finally, the Liberals were pushed into this situation, into this corner by this report. At least they have taken a step forward. I mean, it is getting support from the Conservatives, but do you think that this Foreign Agents Lobbying Registry, which is long overdue, will be the antidote to this problem, or at least the start of solving this problem?
Well, I believe it could be the start. I admittedly haven't studied it line for line, and so, or compared it to Australia's bill or the United States bill. So, you know, I'll defer to others that that have read it line for line. But look, just looking at this very top line, it is a step that the Liberal government was forced into this position. You know, one could say that they now have cover with people that would have supported them, and they turn a blind eye to. You know, I don't think it's very controversial to say there's enough evidence in open source and what I've reported on and the Globe and Mail that the Liberals and Justin Trudeau have been favored for years. This goes right back to Justin Trudeau's leadership back in 2013. And yet China got very sophisticated and calibrated their support, as I reported for the Bureau.News when Manwan Zhao was put in jail. This caused China to tune up its interference in the 2019 election, which wasn't reflected at all, my deep sort of reporting on that, in the Hogue Commission. But, you know, to stay focused on your question, what I do know is that every case in the United States of these proxies working with Fujian Ministry of Public Security, whether they be Fujian organized crime bosses in, you know, in New York or other states, or whether they be, you know, real estate developers within, you know, it's based in the Fujian community. That's what it is so far. These CCP police stations, every case starts with a foreign agent registry, which it kind of blows people's minds. Like, what spy is going to sign up to a registry? But it can be simple. And if Canada's bill can do this, hey, we've got your WeChat messages with, you know, PLA guy in Vancouver or Ministry of State Security guy in Toronto and Montreal. He's telling you through his boss in Shanghai or Jiangsu or Beijing or Guangzhou to target this dissident. You did it. You're not on our registry. You're going to jail. Look, if we can get some of those cases, that's a win. So yeah, it could be a start, but without, again, getting too deep into the weeds, you know, I've talked to people like Calvin Krusty, and anyone at a high level in the RCMP says you can put a few laws in, but there could be all kinds of loopholes in them. And, you know, it's just the elephant in the room is Canada, getting back to my point on money laundering. I can just imagine the lawyers revving up to file, you know, Charter of Rights kind of defenses to any of these cases about the registry. In fact, you know, I'll end my answer here. I just read a little headline from Blacklocks in Ottawa this morning. Yuen Pao Wu is complaining that the registry will focus on people that are often meeting with Chinese agents. That's what I read. Apparently that's his quote, right? So, and you know, I guess credit to some Ottawa press, finally someone asked him directly, are you a Chinese agent? And he angrily answered, according to Blacklocks, that's a very insulting question. But I'll just circle back. You mentioned Senator Yuen Pao Wu and Victor Oh, prima facie, on the face, as they taught me to say in my philosophy class, their actions are openly acting for Beijing. They can't deny that, you know, standing up there and saying, you know, this RCMP investigation against an alleged police station in Montreal is wrong. Like, how can you be? I'm sorry, I just don't see any argument for a Canadian politician to be doing that, except they're, whether through leverage, compromise, you know, business appearances in an illegal casino, something very fishy. Anyone can see that something fishy, whether it, you know, be some deal or some leverage, is being applied to Canadian politicians. And I think that speaks to the NSI COP report about politicians, contrary to what Elizabeth May would argue, politicians working for other people secretly, strangely. And one more point, you mentioned, you know, Justice Hogue said, oh, maybe only one riding flipped hands. Look, sources that have been a source that has been proved accurate from the start now by all reviews told me from 40 to 50 ridings, it looks like it was targeted by China alone in 2021. So I'd say this problem is a lot bigger than even Ottawa is starting to admit.
And you referred to Elizabeth May. Elizabeth May, who admittedly in front of a camera and microphones.
I take my marching orders from the permanent representative of Palestine to Canada.
Elizabeth May trying to be an authority on foreign interference. Finally, what next? What should we be watching for in the weeks and months to come on this file?
Well, Bob, you're based in Vancouver. You know those networks. I've looked at a lot of your reporting. We've reported on some of the same people. We can, as I said, we know the faces, we know the names. So when you posted a photo of Parm Bains politicking with Beijing's, I believe we should say top three proxy in that province, standing front and center. Look, you and I know that that picture tells a big story. We've started to explain to Canadians why. And, you know, I would like to say that I'm going to use a bit of editorial flair here. David Eby appeared to be a white knight on the money laundering file. But I'm just going to level up with you, Bob. I'm not seeing good indications with his response towards vulnerabilities around him. This would include, I believe, denying, you know, briefs or acting like he wasn't briefed when like reports about Vancouver's mayor came out. And you and I both know, you named the person, as I have, Mr. Ding Guo, of, you know, closely linked to this Rise Media, which I pointed to in the Parm Bains story. This guy is supposedly a David Eby advisor. You know, there's all kinds of people surrounding him. I wrote in my book, Willful Blindness, and I looked for his response, and he never responded, including to my phone messages. You know, this guy and his network appeared to target myself when I reported about this big PPE safety mask story and how the United Front was sucking out our safety masks in 2020. And, you know, I'm going to use the word flummoxed by David Eby's lack of response about the vulnerabilities surrounding him. You know, Doug Ford, Justin Trudeau, those would be the three people in Canada that have the most vulnerabilities surrounding them right now. So I'm just watching closely to see how they respond. And again, lawfare is real. You know, I think Canadians, a story that hasn't come out yet. So I'm telling you, I'm digging back into my old stomping grounds in BC, and I know you are. I think there's more stories going to come out there. I don't think Canadians have yet paid attention to the role of law offices and lawyers in foreign interference. Again, you know, I thought I was going to be a lawyer at one stage. You know, I do a lot of work similar to what lawyers do. I just think, you know, it's not a license to, just because you got a law license, you know, why are all these law firms doing so much business that conflicts them with China? You know, why are they allowed to step out and you know, defend politicians, essentially act as a block on this NSI Cup report for the names that need to be named, I think. And I think it goes deeper than that, but lawyers are a focus to me. They're a concern to me.
Indeed, in the months to come, as we're approaching the October 19th British Columbia provincial election, David Eby's running for re-election with the NDP, hopes to get another majority. This will be a question that will dog him on the campaign trail. It's an important question about what he's doing, what he knows about foreign interference, and whether it is a concern for him or if he's going to use it to his advantage to get re-elected here in BC. So thanks again to investigative journalist Sam Cooper of TheBureau.News, the Substack that covers anti-corruption, counter-disinformation, whistleblowers, and sunlight. Sam is also the author of the best-selling Willful Blindness, How a Network of Narcos, Tycoons, and CCP Agents Infiltrated the West, from Optimum Publishing International. Thanks again, and look forward to having you on the podcast again.
Thanks, and keep up your good work as well, Bob.
Breaker.news podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Taiwan news, Canada to increase naval transits through Taiwan Strait. Canada expanding presence in Indo-Pacific as part of Operation Horizon. Canadian representative to Taiwan, Jim Nichols, comments echo Canada's strategic joint staff head, Paul Prevost's statements to deploy three ships per year. In Kyoto news, Japan, North Korea held secret meeting in mid-May, said South Korean newspaper. The Japanese delegation at the meeting near Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, included a politician, while the North Korean side comprised three people, including an individual related to the Reconnaissance General Bureau, North Korea's intelligence agency, the Joong-an Ilbo, reported, citing multiple sources. It also reported that Japan and North Korea were expected to meet last week in China's Inner Mongolia Autonomous Region, but quoted a separate source as saying, quote, "It is unclear whether the contact was made as planned." In Hong Kong Free Press, Hong Kong cancels passports of six so-called fugitive activists in UK, including Nathan Law, under new security law provision. Christopher Meng, Finn Lau, Simon Cheung, Johnny Fok, Tony Choi, and Nathan Law face new restrictions. Each of them will see any business dealings in Hong Kong cancelled, and it is now unlawful to provide them with funds, financial assets, or handle their economic resources. In response to the passport cancellations, UK activist Lau tweeted that he only held a British national overseas passport and had never owned nor applied for a Hong Kong passport. Quote, "It is ridiculous to cancel something that never existed." That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. In Willamette Week, new Portland-based video game Queer Quest adds mystery element to the dating simulation genre. Indie game developer Mo Cohen's proudly LGBTQ plus role-playing game is part puzzler, part scavenger hunt. Available on Mac and PC via Steam and Itch, Queer Quest follows Lupe as she unravels the mystery of her girlfriend Alexis's abduction. Along the way, Lupe overcomes some very Portland-specific challenges, like navigating a naked bike ride and setting up an ex-girlfriend with her crush. In Crosscut, audit finds more problems with how Washington spent federal COVID aid. A new report found 86 issues, a record number, with how state agencies spent funds, listing documentation deficiencies, and $1.17 billion in questioned costs. The state spent about $29 billion in federal aid during the audit period for fiscal year 2023, down from a pandemic high of $37 billion, but still far above the $18 billion pre-pandemic average. And in the Breaker.News, read stories such as deepfake ads featuring artificial intelligence-generated images of Liberal Finance Minister Freeland spotted on YouTube, and disqualified conservative leadership hopeful Brown met twice with Vancouver allies of communist China. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate. Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Alexandra Rogge and the Trace Foundation for hosting the 2024 Trace Prize for Investigative Reporting June 12th in Vancouver. The winners were Mahmoud Al-Sobki in The New Arab for an investigation of smuggling networks involving a private Syrian airline and the Libyan military, and the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists in collaboration with the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project and Paper Trail Media, for a 10-part series on how the Cyprus economy fuels Russia's war on Ukraine. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 16th, 2024. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 16th of June in 1904, the day everything happened, in James Joyce's 1922 novel Ulysses, featuring Jewish protagonist Leopold Bloom? The 16th of June is now known as Bloom's Day and is an annual celebration of Joyce in Dublin and elsewhere. Now you know. Send me your feedback, send me your story ideas to Bob at thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the free email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. Or follow The Breaker News on X, formerly known as Twitter, for news as it happens. And you can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.